Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, we're going to start reading in verses 22, and we'll read a few verses. And starting in verse 22, the Bible says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they had come to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made them, or for them, a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we have, and dearly Father, we desperately need to hear from you. Seems like now more than ever, it just seems wickedness abounds in every corner, and we as Christians, we need to get serious about serving you. We need to be serious about serving God and being used by you in a great way. Dearly Father, it seems like too many times we as Christians, we play church, and I'm sorry for that. But dearly Father, I pray that you just help us to challenge us by your word. Help us to draw closer to you. Help us to be genuinely walking with you and genuinely trying to be used by you. Dearly Father, I pray that tonight each one of us would yield ourselves over to you for what you'd have for us. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight the sermon is called From Bitterness to Blessing. From bitterness to blessing. And I love the stories in the Bible. And when it comes down to it, there's a lot of really good ones. And I don't think for a moment that they're just like a night story or whatever bedtime story. It's I believe they're actual accounts of what happened, and I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And when it comes down to it, here we have you have a group of people, and the Bible says in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And basically, they have been set free from their slavery. And you look at the history. I love studying the children of Israel just because of all the great things God did. But I tell you what, it shows an insight on human nature, and it shows some of the same downfalls that they struggled with. We see in Christianity as well, and in our own lives if we're honest with ourselves. But here you have, imagine all that the Bible talks about. He refers to the fact that he brought him out of, brought Israel from the Red Sea, and all that happened there, and how Pharaoh's army were, basically God saved them in a miraculous way. And we see here that, anyways, if you go up a little higher, you see the singing, verse 19, "For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with the horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought against them the waters of the sea." And he goes on verse 21, Miriam answered, "Sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider hath he thrown into the sea." And, the thing about it is that here they have singing. And by the way, when it comes down to it, we have a song that we can sing. And, I tell you what, when we think about all that Christ has done for us, you know what? There should be a song on our heart. I was just hearing somebody the other day talking about, you don't hear anybody whistle anymore. And you know what? And I think they were referring to me as being strange. I get that a lot. And anyways, hung around Aaron too long. But anyways, so when it comes down to it, hey, listen, we ought to have a song in our heart and not some of this worldly garbage that's worthless and tries to tear us down. But you know, a new song the Bible talks about, new in our relationship to Christ. But here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we see a song, and we should have a similar song. You know, here's the thing is, I found a friend who is all to me. There's so many good songs in the hymn book, and that's why I'm glad that we sing the old-fashioned hymns here at Calvary Baptist Church. But here's the thing is, there are so many awesome songs talk about the love of Christ and how awesome God is. But you know what? We should have something to sing about. You know, we shouldn't be be walking around with their lip dragging on the ground. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll go eat worms. You know, no, we ought to be singing, you know what? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? You know what? When we get close to God, I tell you what, we're going to have a song in our heart. And you know what? Some people, maybe it sounds more like a goat. But here's the thing is when it comes down to it, you know what? The Bible says, make a joyful noise. And but here's the thing is we have here the children of Israel and they're singing their song. But you know what? I believe this group pictures the saved born again believers. You know what? The thing about it is we had you know what? The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And praise the Lord, Christ saved us. And I tell you what, you know what? We've been saved by the blood of Calvary, the finished work of Calvary, Christ shedding his blood for us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And here's the thing is, you know what? We now have been free from the bondage of sin. You know what? Our feet are never going to touch hell. Praise the Lord. One day I'm going to walk on streets of gold. And you know what? I'm no longer on my way to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got a mansion being prepared for me. And but here's the thing is when it comes down to it, I believe that this pictures the Christian. We've got a lot to shout about. We've got a lot to sing about. And but anyways, so here's the thing is Moses is leading his people through the wilderness. This kind of pictures our journey. You know, I think about that song, my Lord knows a way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And by the way, he does know the way through the wilderness. And by the way, we do have to trust him. And you know what? There are some great lessons in the wilderness. And you know what? God can teach us a lot of things. But we see here that as Moses is leading them through, they come to a place called Marah. The Bible talks about there was a went into the wilderness for sure, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. I don't know about you. Here's the thing is, all you got to do is take a trip with children. Are we there yet? And if they don't have to go to the bathroom, they have to consume water. And if you, I tell you what, you can put a whole case of water bottles back there in the trip, and it seems like a whole case will be gone in about an hour, and then they'll be back there dancing, and they're not praising the Lord. But anyways, when it comes down to it, but you know what, traveling a lot of times was we didn't hop in our, you know, back in the Bible days, they didn't hop in their Jags, you know, and drive to the next place. They took and they had to walk and carry stuff. But anyways, so 3 days journey, I imagine the water went quick and I imagine that they took some water with them, but they get to this place and you know what? They went these three days journey and you know what? Their containers were exhausted. And basically, when it comes down to it, they came to the place where Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah for they were bitter. You know, a lot of times, our hearts need replenished along the way as far as our spiritual journey. You know, this is why a lot of Christians falter and fail along the way. Turn your Bibles to Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. And I'm not going to try and preach out of Revelation. I don't think I could hold a candle to pastor's Revelation study. But here's the thing is when it comes down to it, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Here, listen, you know, the thing about it is that too many times we take and you know, we don't plan for the journey. You know, when it comes down to spiritual lives, we pass up on the watering holes. You know, too many times we pass up on the watering hole of Bible reading. Too many times we pass up on the watering hole of Bible study. Too many times we pass up on the watering hole of Bible memorization. Too many times we pass up on the watering hole of being faithful to church. I tell you what, when it comes down to it, you know, listen, too many times we take and we pass up on times that we should be replenished. But listen, when it comes down to it, there was water at Marah, but it was bitter. And turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. You know, this could picture the water of the world. You know, when it comes down to it, the Bible says that they weren't able to drink because the water was bitter. The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, here's the thing is, waters of this world are like drinking out of bad water. You know, I looked up this afternoon, and they say that 500,000 deaths happen every year from drinking bad water, and they die of diarrheal complications. And here's the thing. So bad water is bad, obviously. And you know what? When it comes down to it, it'll make our stomach sick and render us useless to get anything accomplished. Well, here's the thing is, you know what? All you got to do is look at the world. The world, whether or not they'll realize it, they're searching in something. They're just looking in all the wrong places. They're trying to drink the waters of Marah, that are a bitter water. And basically what happens is that they take and they look for it in drugs, and they look for it in alcohol. And they say, you know what, let's make drugs legal. And I tell you what, that's just going to ruin more and more lives. And, here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, the world doesn't have the answers. All the world has is destruction. All the world has is their sin. And you know what? Here's the thing is, Satan is trying to destroy lives. And you know what? All the world has is destruction and bitterness. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, I'll never forget when I was growing up, I used to want one of those survival straws. I thought that was the coolest thing. You know, you'll be walking along on a hike and, oh, I'm thirsty. And all of a sudden, there is a straw. And a massive straw, but you could shove it in the water and drink pure water. Well, listen, when it comes down to it, water is important for survival. And but anyways, when it comes down to it, you know, a lot of times, the bitter waters of Marah also remind me of, you know, the lukewarm Christian. The Bible talks about that a lukewarm Christian, God wants to spew out of his mouth. You know, here's the thing is, it seems like too many times Christians, when we walk away from God, it seems like we get diarrhea of the mouth. And, you know, here's the thing is, I'll never forget, quite a few years ago, we were up in Michigan, and my wife's grandmother passed away. And I'll never forget it. And there was a lot of unsaved people there. And don't ask me why, but they had a 2-day showing. And I think that must have been common in Michigan. And anyways, there was people from multiple churches because, but anyways, and so I'll never forget, there was a couple that, don't ask me why, Pastor, but the choir director decided he was going to go into Southern Gospel music. And he was going to go to Catholic churches and Presbyterian churches and all kinds of stuff. And this guy wanted to be the sound guy for this Southern Gospel. Well, obviously the pastor couldn't endorse that. And so anyways, they got mad and left along with the choir director. And anyways, they were bitter. And I'll never forget, I just wanted to have words with this lady, but I knew it wouldn't do any good. Here's the thing is, all these unsaved people there and my in-laws, ourselves and many other people had been praying for the salvation of these lost people there. And we knew that the pastor was going to have the plan of salvation there. And we knew that this was a great opportunity. And here's the thing, as you ever go to a funeral, the pastor preaches, you know, I tell you what, many times a lot of people raise their hand saying, I trusted Christ. It's a great opportunity. But this lady went around and all she did, it didn't matter who would listen to her. She would go around talking bad about the church. We're talking to lost people. I mean, the funeral service hasn't even been done yet. This was just a showing beforehand. And she'd pick some random person and start spewing her garbage about the church. It was People's Baptist Church. And she'd just run around starting to criticize. She'd talk bad about the pastor. She'd talk bad about the church. She'd talk bad about this, that, and the other. And I remember thinking, lady, what are you doing? These people are lost. She was doing this to anyone that would give her an ear. And I tell you what, I remember being frustrated. My wife was extremely frustrated. And you know, the thing about it is when you're bitter, it seems like your brain disengages. And it just seems like bitterness takes over. And she couldn't stand the church. And I'll be honest with you, she was so bitter that, you know what? She was even willing to turn people off to the gospel just because she wanted to share her backslidden state with other people. I'll be honest with you, be extremely wary about somebody who's just really excited to give you bad news. I tell you what, why? Chances are they're bitter or they're backslidden. Hey, Pastor, I just can't wait to tell you about Aaron. You know what? I heard the worst thing about it. And they're grinning ear to ear. And anyways, well, Aaron, it is kind of fun. No, just joking. But anyways, here's the thing is, I tell you what, be careful for those people. Because I tell you what, when it comes down to it, they've drank the bitter waters of Marah. And, but anyways, here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we may have bitter experiences in this wilderness. You know, Israel was disappointed. They expected to go to a well and they expected to drink water. You know, here's the thing is when you're thirsty, it seems like there's nothing better than a glass of water. How many have ever, you know, you've been offered pop so much that it's just like, I can't take it anymore. I've got to have some water. You know, here's the thing is when it comes down to it, when you've been working all day in the sun, some people are like from the South, I got to have my iced tea. And, you know, I love iced tea, but it seems like there's times where nothing satisfies like water. And I imagine that traveling in the wilderness, they were hankering for some water. They needed some water. And, here's the thing is they expected to go to this well, but you know what? There will always be disappointments. You see, bitter water troubles us all. We got a little bitter water finding out who claimed the presidency. And so, but here's the thing is when it comes down to it, you know what? We will have trials along the journey. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. There will be things that come into our lives where are unexpected and, that just kind of seem to take us flat footed. But, John chapter 16 and verse 33, the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Notice that first phrase, that in me ye might have peace. Too many times we're focused on the world. I tell you what, the world's full of tribulation. The world's full of bitter waters of Marah. And here's the thing is, if all we're focused on is the world and our circumstance and what's going on, I tell you what, we're going to be a very troubled person because all we're focused on is the tribulation. But the Bible says here, in me ye might have peace. If we want peace that passes understanding, you know, I tell you what, the world doesn't understand how in the world. You know, you look at when many people didn't get what they wanted last election, it seems like all fell apart. And, you know, there was wailing and, you know, you look at all the rioting that happened. Here's the thing is, why isn't all the rioting happening now that after the Biden? Because here's the thing is, you know what? Many, many people vote based on this book right here. And when they do, here's the thing is, we realize that the president doesn't determine everything. You know what? I serve the one that does. Amen. And you know what? When it comes down to it, I can fret and worry about the presidency, or I can say, you know what? I'm going to get in this book right here. I'm going to find the peace in Christ. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to snuggle up to the one that can give me the most peace. Here's the thing is, you know what? The world's got nothing to offer, but heartache and tribulation and bitter waters. But here's the thing is that we will have trials along the journey. This trial came in the path of God's leading. God always knows what's best. But see, here we find that, that basically back in Exodus chapter 15, and when we look in verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses saying, "What shall we drink?" I tell you what. Here's the thing is, anybody that desires leadership, it's touched in the head. You know what? When it comes down to it, because imagine having an entire, all of Israel murmuring and complaining to Moses. I tell you what, it's evidence that God had Moses where he could be, because here's the thing is, only God could give him the strength to do something like that. But when it comes down to it, the people murmured against Moses. You know, when it comes down to it, bitter experiences should not make us bitter. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter, and we'll come back to this thought here in a second. But 1 Peter chapter number 4, 1 Peter chapter number 4, the Bible says in verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though something happened unto you, but rejoice insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And so when it comes down to it, listen, we shouldn't allow bitterness to take over. We, you know, too many times, just like I said before, it seems like too many times we let bitterness sneak in and we do things that hurt the cause of Christ. Just like I talked about at that funeral. And here's the thing is here they're taken and the person that they should have been praying for, the person that they should have been encouraging and saying, you know what? Let's take and encourage the man of God so that he can get a word from God. Because listen, we're in a bad spot. And listen, when it comes down to it, just like this, we should be praying for our pastor. Too many times, I remember hearing many times growing up, Pastor Dobson preaching about, you know, too many times people have roast preacher for lunch. And when it comes down to it, they expect them, after he's just been roasted to the family, hey, go see the preacher. Well, they don't have any respect for him anymore. And so the thing about it is we're in our bitterness, we're basically shooting ourselves in the foot. We should be encouraging the man of God. By the way, the thing about it is Satan would love nothing better than to destroy our preacher. I don't know if you know it, but we've been all over the place. It seems like everybody knows Pastor Lance. And I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. I think it's a good thing. It'd be a bad thing if everybody knew me as associated with him. But anyways, so here's the thing is, I remember being out of state. Oh yeah, I remember hearing about Pastor Lance. Everybody, but here's the thing is, imagine if Pastor Lance would fall to sin. Imagine how much that would hurt the cause of Christ. There's many that have fallen, and there's no way of knowing the damage that it caused. So rather than fighting and murmuring and complaining against him, let's pray for him. Because here's the thing is there's more, listen, when it comes down to it, we need to do things on purpose with eternity in view. Hey, listen, either we're serving God or we're serving ourselves. Hey, listen, when it comes down to it, what feels good or feels right doesn't matter. It's what does God want? And how does God want me to act? And listen, when we allow bitterness to come into our lives, basically bitter people a lot of times can't be used by God. Grumbling and complaining basically states that we do not believe God is in control and that he is going to work things out. I tell you what, this is why, I'll be honest with you, I'm thinking, well, I don't think I'm going to grumble about Biden being president anymore. And, here's the thing is, he wasn't my choice. And I didn't vote for him. But you know what? Like Pastor said this morning, whether we like it or not, he is our president. And the office demands respect. And so when it comes down to it, but, you know, basically we are distrusting God and making it verbal. And so when it comes down to it, either we believe that God's in control, or when we murmur and complain and grumble, we're basically saying, God, you know what? This all took God by surprise. And you know what? I'm upset about it. Hey, listen, none of this took God by surprise. He knows all. And you know what? God is still on the throne. God still has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And you know what? As a church, it's not time to circle the wagons. It's not time to take our ball and go home. You know what? It's time to charge forward. It's time to see souls saved. It's time to see lives changed. It's time to preach the gospel, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Whether we believe now is out of season or not, here's the thing is when it comes down to it, now is the time where we as Christians, we decide that, you know what, I'm going to be a big boy or a big girl, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Things may not have gone my way, but listen, bless God, I'm going to do what God told me to do because he is in control, he has a plan for my life, and either I obey God or I decide to get bitter. And so here's the thing is, too many times we look at bitterness, grumbling, complaining, and worry as a means of fixing things. The Bible says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. The Bible says, casting all of our care upon him, for he careth for you. I'll be honest with you. At some point in time, we've got to say, you know what? God, your will is what's best. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to complain about it. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I got enough to worry about looking in the mirror than I do worrying about the White House. Because the thing about it is you know what? I think if we're all honest with ourselves, each one of us can look into the perfect law of liberty and see something that we can change, something that we can improve. And the Bible talks about if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Here's the thing is the Bible talks about healing their land. And so if I'm the way I'm supposed to be, you see, here's the thing is, if Christians were what they were supposed to be in the first place, I doubt Biden would have ever been elected. But too many times we've dropped the ball. You know what? Too many times we decide we're just going to play church. Well, I'll read in my Bible. I'll study in the Bible. I got a busy life. And you know what? Our nation's going to keep on tumbling down. And we're just going to keep on getting bitter. And we're just going to keep on worrying and fretting and grumbling and complaining. Here's the thing is that you look at it, Saul was bitter towards David. It consumed him. You know, all he did, it seemed like, was try and go after David. Did he do anything he was supposed to do? Not a whole lot. The prodigal son's brother was bitter about his returning, feeling mistreated. I tell you what, pride a lot of times will get us there. Well, I should have been treated. And I go back to my mother-in-law, what she told the kids growing up. You know what you deserve? Hell. I tell you what, here's the thing is, how would we like being treated like they treated Christ? No thanks, I'm good. You know, because here's the thing is, the moment we feel like, well, so-and-so mistreated us, you know, so-and-so, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. I don't need to. I know what humanity did to Christ. I know what my sin did to Christ. Hey, listen, I'm good. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, you know, God has words for bitter people. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 19, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Why would they say that to husbands and not the wives? Because God knows how wives are. No, I'm just joking. I got myself in trouble there. But here's the thing is, we're not supposed to be bitter. And turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Well, you don't know what happened. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Here's the thing is, you know what we struggle with so much is our attitude. It seems like we like to murmur and complain. We like to share the bad stuff. Here's the thing is, why do you think CNN and all those other news networks dwell on the negative so much? Because that appeals to your flesh. It seems like, you know, if there's a bad accident along the interstate, everybody does what they call rubbernecking. You know? And I remember I hated accidents on the interstate because it seemed like there'd be one accident and about a half an hour later there'd be another one just up a little bit. And if we didn't clear things off soon enough, there'd be another one a little past then. Why? Because too many people were worried about what was going on in the accident scene instead of driving. Well, here's the thing is, a Christian life is the same thing. Too many people are worried about the circumstance around them, the bitter waters of Marah, and we're not focused on Christ. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so listen, when it comes down to it, we need to be focused on Christ. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible gives us another admonition about bitterness. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Here's the thing is, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Murmuring, bitterness, that it'll destroy. By the way, murmuring and bitterness will destroy a church. Murmuring and bitterness will destroy an individual. Murmuring and bitterness, you get it in a family, you get it in a church, you get it in an individual. You know what? It'll destroy that unit. And so we've got to be careful about being critical and murmuring and worrying. But here's the thing is, we go back to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 24, we see here Moses' plea. And the Bible talks about, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And what does he do? He does what we should do when we find ourselves at the bitter waters of Marah. And he cried unto the Lord and said, and the Lord showed him a tree, which When he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statute of an ordinance, and there he proved them. Moses cried to the Lord. What should we do when others criticize us? Pray. What should we do when we come to the well and it's bitter waters? Pray. When Moses didn't know what to do, he prayed. By the way, even if we know what we should do, we should still pray about it. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 5 that God promises wisdom to those that ask. Next, we see that God in his tree. The Bible says here, the Lord showed him a tree. And the tree made the water sweet. The tree had been there this whole time. I believe God grew up that tree for that specific purpose. And here's the thing is, I believe the tree speaks of Calvary. You know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, I know sometimes God uses bitter experiences, like a funeral, to show other people, to show people Calvary. And listen, when it comes down to it, in the story, when the tree was cast into the waters, the bitter waters of Marah were made sweet. Listen, there's nothing sweeter than to see a soul trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I tell you what, as Christians, by the way, we should be constantly focused on that tree. Not the tree itself, but the Christ who died on that tree. Here's the thing is, you know what? I tell you what, just like I alluded before, when we think that we're being so mistreated and we're in such a terrible circumstance, think about all that Christ has done for me. Think about all the suffering that he went through. Think of all the, just, you know, we talk about persecution, and I think about how mobs were trying to murder Christ. Talk about, you know, here's the thing is, many of us like to be popular, and we like to be, you know, we like to have all kinds of friends around us. That wasn't always the case with Christ. Here's the thing is, that when it comes down to it, Christ suffered for me. Christ suffered in pain on the cross. He was beaten beyond recognition. The crown of thorns were placed for me. The spear in the side was for me. He suffered on the cross for me. And you know what? When I focus on Calvary, I tell you what, how can I justify skipping church? Because all that on Calvary was for me. How can I justify not reading my Bible? All that was for me. Oh, I got a busy life. All that was for me. How can I justify not sharing the gospel with my neighbor? All that was for me. And by the way, it was for your neighbor as well. And so the thing about it is imagine somebody being so selfish as to not share Christ with other people. But too many times we're that way. That cross or that tree speaks of Calvary. And the cross sweetens the bitter times in life. Here's the thing is, we have to realize that God has a plan and a purpose at the bitter waters of Marah. See, I believe that God brought them to those waters to show them that, number one, God is all we need. Number two is that, you know what? Calvary covers it all. And so when it comes down to it, you know what? Listen, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me encourage you tonight to get that settled. The Bible talks about, behold, now is today is the day of salvation. You know, one thing I learned on the ambulance is, you know what? Nobody is guaranteed of tomorrow. Here's the thing is, I think about being the veteran service time. I think about those that have attended our veteran service and trusted Christ who weren't there at the next one. We don't know if we're going to be around at the next veteran service. But the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, let Christ change your bitterness to a blessing. Because here's the thing is, what a blessing Moses had for that answer to prayer. That tree was cast in the water, and I tell you what, to be used by God is indescribable. To be used by God to point somebody else to Christ and to have that individual pray and trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's better than a ball game. To be used by God to preach at a funeral and see people trust Christ. To be used by God to teach Sunday school and to watch those children grow spiritually. To teach any class and to be a part of any life-changing ministry. Let me tell you, I can't describe to you enough how awesome it is to serve God. The sad part about it is, in many churches across America, many Christians have just decided that they're going to park themselves by the bitter water of Marah and they're not going to see God work. They just decide that, you know what, God and I have an understanding. I'm going to sit right here in this pew, and you know what, I'm a good Christian. They're not a part of anything big. And so when it comes down to it, I'll be honest with you, they're missing the boat. And so when it comes down to it, listen, there's nothing better than to be used by God. And by the way, when you're sold out to God, God does things that you know is not of you. And I tell you what, it is incredible. And so let's decide that, you know what, we're going to take and we're not going to get bitter and we're not going to murmur. We're going to trust in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this story that you have in the Bible, this true story. Dear Heavenly Father, it just seems like we battle our flesh so much. Thank you so much for the fact that you love us, you care for us, and that you have a plan and a purpose. And you're not just going to let us sit there and be thirsty and die. But Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the fact that you have wonderful things in store. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to trust in you. Help us to live by your word. Help us to not get bitter. Help us to not mumble and grumble and complain, but help us to focus on the cross. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.